stimulation for your brain. This is the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600.
Welcome back to the show. Joining us now is Alexis Harrison, one of the driving forces behind CT169strong.org, which is a website that you can go to inform yourself about various bills that are making their way through committee to the House and Senate floors in these last few weeks before the legislative session is over, many of them having to do with fundamentally restructuring the relationship between our local communities and the town when it comes to land use. Alexis Harrison, welcome back to the show today. Good morning.
Great to be back. Happy Friday. Thank you so much, Lisa.
It's a gorgeous Friday. So tell us, Alexis, absolutely, what have you guys been up to in the last week?
It's been busy. As you said, the last few weeks of the legislature coming up, I think the legislature officially ends on June 9th. And we've obviously been, you know, keeping a close eye on the zoning bills and being really vigilant in our local communities and really trying to educate folks as much as possible about these fundamental changes that could be coming. You know, there are so many bad bills with significant government overreach coming out of the legislature this session. You've talked about them, obviously. And the big problem here, what I've seen, is just a lack of transparency and conversations with the local communities about these zoning bills. So that's why CT 169 Strong has stepped in and really tried to drill down and just educate folks about the bills coming out of the session or potentially.
It's shocking to me. It's shocking to me. And it's a reflection on, I think, poor media coverage.
Absolutely.
That so many people have no idea what's going on. I was in a meeting yesterday, and my life has gone back to largely in-person meetings, which I'm very grateful for. And I was at a meeting with some people that lived, one lived in South Norwalk, one lived in Trumbull. They just lived in our community. And I mentioned, generally speaking, what was sort of happening and what did they think about what was happening. And they all looked at me with blank eyes. And these are very in touch, in tune people. They had no idea what that was going on. I spoke to a couple of very in touch, bright friends of mine that normally have a finger on the pulse of everything that's really happening in our community. They had no clue. And and I just think that that's, it's, as you said, it's a function of leadership not telling them to some extent, but it's also a question of not just media coverage. Here on WICC, I think we've done a phenomenal job. We're covering this. All of us are.
Absolutely.
But we're just one radio station. There's a newspaper, and there's one chain of newspapers that largely controls the public conversation in so many of our towns and communities. And they cover it somewhat, but not too much.
No, and that's been really the struggle here. You know, I spend a lot of time on this issue, as you know, and, you know, multiple hours in a week. And I write to all the broadcast journalists, the print journalists every week and say, can you cover us? Can we talk about the bills? What's in the content of the bills? And I get crickets. WICC has done a phenomenal job. A lot of other radio stations have as well. But there's just a disconnect between what's in the bills and what people know. And, you know, there's just this notion of, you know, democracy taking place in the darkness right now. I was on a forum the other night in Fairfield. Our first select woman, Brenda Kubchick, held a phenomenal forum on the zoning bills and had our entire Hartford delegation on there. And Tony Wong, who's our state senator, and state rep Laura Devlin mentioned to us that night that as of 8 o'clock, they had no idea what they would be voting on in the next day. How scary is that? The majority party
possible?
Is not sharing information and sharing what's on the agenda the next day, let alone the language of the bills. Yeah, I'll show you the YouTube video. So really, you know, they talk about transparency, but there is none. And we need that. The people are yearning for that, which is why CT, again, 169 Strong has come in, and we're going from community to community and talking to people. Because you just mentioned a great example. People who are educated, who do keep in touch with the issue, are not aware of what's happening in Hartford. So that's why we press on, and it's really disgraceful. It's a disservice to the constituents. It's not fair.
There was a fascinating piece, Alexis Harrison, I don't know if you read it, by the Connecticut Mirror. Connecticut Mirror is a not-for-profit, deep-dive publication that I really value for a lot of in-depth conversations about public policy want kind of issues. And I read them, digest them, and once in a while they make their way to the surface of the show. They did such a fascinating piece on how a particular individual, a Mr. Richard Friedman, happened to be, who lives in a denser place in Fairfield County, I think it said Norwalk, happened to be Samford, pardon me. Thank you, Samford. Yeah. Happened to be in Woodbridge and walked around. Well, you tell the story, Alexis. I think you read it as well. And how he happened to shape this whole movement with just a few people and some energy. Tell me about it.
Yeah, and that gentleman who you referenced, he owns Garden Homes, I believe, and they have a development or two, I think, in Fairfield. But basically, he's a developer in Stamford where he lives, and he was riding his bike in the town of Woodbridge, and he basically saw these large homes in a certain area of zoning, and he said, why can't I build multiple homes here? What's the issue here? And he felt there was some kind of outrage, and he kind of took advantage of this moment in time and has pressed forward with this movement too.
But he is a professional developer. I mean, he's admittedly a professional developer.
Right. And he'll be making potentially a lot of money if these changes do go forth, as will a lot of home builders. You know, during these hearings back in March in the Planning and Development Committee, there were tons of home builders, you know, talking about these bills, you know, cheering them on, bring them on. They thought it was great because they're going to build their own wealth from these bills. As you always say, Lisa, follow the money. Hey, we got to follow the money.
Follow the money.
Lobbyists and home builders are really driving this conversation in Hartford.
We have a caller, Diane Cece of East Norwalk. Let me just introduce Diane to you, Alexis. Diane has been very active in her own East Neighborhood Norwalk Association. She appeared on our show weekly for a while to discuss a particular application that she felt would have been wrong for the community. It has been withdrawn for now. Diane, welcome to the show. You're on the air with Alexis Harrison.
Good morning. Hi, Lisa. Hi, Alexa. Nice to meet you.
Hi, good morning. You too.
So, I hardly know where to start, but I am working, so I'll try to be brief but thorough. When you say a complete lack of transparency, and that may be the understatement of the century here, people are trying to get information directly from legislators, and it doesn't seem to be happening. In our role as a neighborhood association, what we started out doing was presenting information from the two websites, your two organizations, the one that's, in favor, and then CT 169, just so that people would have a balanced view of what's going on. But clearly we need to get people information that's truthful and accurate and, you know, is not the sin of omission with what they're, you know, being told, with the things that are being left out. So I'll put my hat on now as ENNA. On Wednesday, we wrote to the local representatives who represent portions of our neighborhood, Stephanie Thomas and Chris Perrone from the state, from the House, and State Senator Bob Duff. Mm-hmm. So we haven't heard back yet from Mr. Perrone or Ms. Thomas, and they're normally responsive. I'm a little concerned with that, but we did get a response from Bob Duff's assistant there, Mr. O'Brien. And basically what he has said is that Senator Duff is too busy to join a meeting of ENNA at any time, on any day, at any hour, to some of the constituent questions and explain some of these bills. I was just scrolling for the email here. It basically says that because they're coming to the end of this session, he's too busy. But that's precisely why we need to interact with them, because it is coming to the end of the session. These things have moved out of committee. There's still iterations of it that I understand that some offensive stuff that was taken out is now trying to be put back in. And I believe, and maybe Alexis, you can clarify, that this is going to be voted on next month. Is that right?
We're coming in at the end of the session. I don't know the exact dates of the vote, but it'll be obviously coming up in the next 4 weeks. And like you said, they did take some of the really offensive language out of the bill, like SB 1024. But there is an opportunity where that can go back in. And just given that we don't really know what's happened, we don't really have much, you know, insights or visibility, it's nerve-wracking, and what Mr. Duff is doing is really, you know, borderline, you know, unethical. He should always be serving his constituents. But the good news is for you, we're having 169, CT 169 Strong is having a rally actually in Norwalk tomorrow, May 8th, outside the City Hall at 1:30. We'll have a lot of local leaders there, a few common council members from Norwalk there in support of local zoning and really our freedoms to do what our community should be doing, which is guiding, you know, zoning and development. Yeah, exactly. So I hope you can come, and I hope you can get the word out.
Just imagine, Diane Cece, if you didn't have the basic tools that your neighborhood association had a few months ago to be able to persuade your local planning and zoning commission to put the brakes on this, which obviously in your message persuaded the applicant that they weren't going to get the approval they originally sought. If they thought they were going to be approved, they wouldn't have withdrawn.
Exactly.
And if you didn't have the tools of advocacy, local tools, to be able to tell your locally appointed or elected representatives what your issues were, then where are you? You're nowhere.
Oh, it's just, I can't even, my head can't even go there. And you know what's sad is there are some things in there that the bill looks to address that many of us do want to address. We see them as
exactly.
solutions.
Exactly.
A perfect example is ADUs, the accessory mm-hmm. dwelling units. Uh-huh. I am a major proponent of that, and I have been for years. And we've been asking in Norwalk to allow those to come in under special permit as detached units, which we don't currently allow under zoning. And but so now, as much as I would like to see ADUs, I would never support a bill that says ADUs could be as of right.
Any size and any height.
Any size, any height. Mm-hmm. Not sure, you know, what the detachment issue would be there. I mean, there's something like that just horrifying. As of right,
We just passed in Westport.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we just passed in Westport an ADU regulation that some parties can't believe got passed.
Mm-hmm.
And that was... In fact, the Republicans in the local Planning and Zoning Commission in Westport, who are elected, all resigned en masse with a statement that they'd rather resign than be part of the ruination of Westport. Okay?
Wow.
This is the truth.
Yep.
We've only got 4 people out of 7 serving right now in office, and it's a huge problem in Westport because of the resignations of 3 Republican planning and zoning commissioners. They said they didn't want to put their imprimatur, their fingerprint, anything having to do with what went down the pike. And I'll tell you, the ADU bill in Westport, a lot of people are not happy with because it was excessive. In other words, it went in the right direction of accessory dwelling units, but it said they could be as big as 1,600 square feet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
You're kidding me, right? That's another house.
It's a house.
Wow.
It's a house. You know what? And really, Lisa, we just cannot have legislators being non-responsive or dismissive to their constituency. We did everything right on this. When this thing was first in the rumor mill, and I'm going to bring it up again, and I want it on the air again. When this thing was on the rumor mill and people were very nervous, Senator Duff came onto your program in October and said these bills have no merit. Well, we were all in the midst of the Norden issue here, so we let that go. Why would we try to focus on something that our own state senator said has no merit? So then fast forward several months, the bills reemerge. They're pretty horrifying. We start asking questions, and our state reps say, you know, they're in the very beginning stages. These things get massaged. You have to kind of wait to see what may come out of committee. So we backed off again. And then when we did that, now we're seeing what's coming out. So we're raising the red flag to say we need to be involved. And now it's almost like they're telling us you're too late because you're at the end of the session now. And we're going to vote on this thing. There's no time to talk to you. So where was the appropriate time for people like us to get involved?
Right.
You know, hundreds and hundreds of people testified at the public hearings about these things, and then they came out of committee anyway, and I'm not even sure if these things resemble what people spoke to.
And you raise a really important point there. And also, what is the rush to pass these zoning bills right now when we're under a Zoom, you know, General Assembly session, when people are not focused on those kinds of issues? They're focused on, you know, recovering from COVID, getting their kids back to school, getting back to life as normal. I don't understand why we would want to rush anything through that will fundamentally change the fabric of our communities. You know, I think we're all on this panel familiar with 830G, the affordable housing law in Connecticut. And that took a whole year of a blue ribbon committee, you know, researching, bringing all the stakeholders to the table. And they arrived at that after a year. I mean, it's flawed, and most of us would probably argue that. But still, that took a whole year. This is a matter of a few months of special interest pushing through bills that really don't work for our communities, whether you're in Norwalk or Fairfield or Westport.
Exactly. Good
point.
One of the things
we learned yesterday from Representative Jonathan Steinberg, who represents Westport and who's a Democrat, is that he believes that a lot of these bills are going to end up with one consensus bill, which he said he was in favor of. He didn't say how he would vote on it. He also was questioning whether or not there was a rush. And he also did not see a straight line between policies intended to effectuate less police brutality and what happened with George Floyd and that police reform effort, which he wholeheartedly endorsed and supported, with the line that's being drawn towards changing the relationship between state and local land use. And he didn't say how he would vote. He seemed receptive to certain elements of the policy and not receptive to others. But he did say that he thought a consensus bill would end up looming. So I'm just communicating that to both of you in case you didn't hear the interview.
Well, you know, Alicia and Alexa, I'm so sorry. I have to get back to work, but I want to leave you with one
thought.
All right. I'm glad that Alexa just brought it up, and we've said it ad nauseum. If these bills are good bills today, then they will certainly be good bills a year from now or 2 years from now. I totally agree with I don't know what the idea is in trying to rush this through under the radar of dealing with COVID and everything else when people can't participate the way that they would like to or be informed the way they like to. But if there is some merit to some portions of these bills that are good today, it will be good next year. So I think we need to hit the pause button, and I certainly hope that in the next few days my own representatives and state senator will be more responsive. And Lisa, I'm happy to call next week and let you know, give you a follow-up on this.
Absolutely. Certainly. And Mr. Duff is welcome to join us in Norwalk tomorrow at 1:30 in front of the City Hall. We'll be talking about the zoning bill, so he's always welcome there.
Great. Perfect. We'll spread the word. I can't be there myself, but we'll certainly spread the word. Thank you both so much.
Great. Thank you for your work. Really appreciate it.
Bye.
Thank you, Diane. Alexa, stay on. We'll be right back with more of the Lisa Wexler Show.
Here's what Connecticut is saying about Lisa Wexler.
I just love the moderation of the way you handle the calls.
Back to the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600.
Welcome back. We are rejoining Alexis Harrison, who is active with CT169strong.org. Alexis, just got a few minutes. Please tell people why you are so active in this particular movement and how you think people can help you if they agree with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think, you know, land is the most important resource, the most finite resource that we have. And as I always say, they're not making any more land. God isn't making any more land. And we really need to be careful, prescriptive of what we do with it and how we plan it, how we plan around it. So that's why I got active in CT 169 Strong, which is why I've been so passionate about zoning and development in my own town of Fairfield for many years. We have to be really careful. You know, there are developers out there who don't really have our best interests out there. And I always try to be that watchdog and really have a voice for the people when we're talking about big development. You know, one thing I'd like to mention is, you know, 60 years ago, the Connecticut legislature, they passed the Home Rule Act, which gave authority to the towns to write their own charters. And now today in 2021, they're trying to reverse that position, it seems like, with these zoning bills that will really give a lot of control to Hartford and provide, you know, towns this uniform policy when it comes to zoning, which isn't good. Those aren't values that we really cherish in Connecticut. We value the individual, you know, town. So these just really reverse what I believe the Constitution State has always been in favor of. And I really urge people to get involved with CT169strong.org. We're a grassroots movement, you know, around the state with people who care about land and zoning and who don't want any more uniform policies come from Hartford. So I urge everybody to come to our rally tomorrow in Hartford. We'll be in Norwalk in front of the City Hall at 1:30, and we'll continue having these rallies for the rest of the session.
I like the metaphor of the literal notion of a grassroots organization here. You're right down to the blade.
So
what's happening tomorrow?
A number of our legislators will be joining CT 169 Strong in Norwalk. State Rep Kimberly Fiorella will be there. Fred Wilms will be there, who I believe ran for state rep in Norwalk. Tony Wong, who is a ranking member of Planning and Development Committee, and my state senator here in Fairfield, and a few others. And we're just bringing together people and educating them on the bills and what could be ahead for Connecticut, and telling them to reach out to their legislator right now. You know, this is a pivotal moment.
What time is the gathering?
It's at 1:30.
1:30.
You know, and I always say this, but legislators are not doing their work. You know, my own state rep has not sent one newsletter about the zoning bill. And to me, that's scary. That's why people don't know about them.
Which legislator?
State Representative Jennifer Leeper. I read her newsletter every week. I have not seen, you know, any mention of the zoning bills. She did hold, you know, a forum several weeks back on zoning, but she has not really talked about it in any other, you know, vehicle, such as her newsletter, which would be really useful for people like my neighbors who don't know about it.
Well, she's a freshman Democrat. She might be afraid to buck the party leadership, and particularly when her colleague, Christine Vahey, is leading the planning committee on this and has been incubating and discussing and caring about a lot of this policy. She would have to come out against some of her Democratic colleagues. So she's in a politically tough spot. I can understand how she is in a politically tough spot.
Yeah, I understand that, but you are elected to represent Democrats, Republicans, and Independents. You know, it's a hard, you know, when you're a legislator, it's a hard job. You have to make hard decisions, and she needs to be advocating for her constituents. She's not doing that.
Have there been any surveys, Alexis Harrison, that you know that have gone back to the people from any of the politicians that have tried to ask them how they feel about these bills?
No, I don't believe there have been. It's a great idea to do like a poll survey or something like that.
Yes, I would think so. I think that some of the power in No Toll CT came from this sense that the people didn't want it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we do have petitions on our website, ct169strong.org, and there are ways to directly, you know, email your representative. There's a lot. You can print signs. You can do a lot of things there. So, again, Lisa, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Alexis. I mean, listen, if the people want it, then the people should have it. But if they don't want it, I think the representative should know about it. Thank you very much.
Inquires all the stakeholders. Thank you.
Yes, it does. Alexis Harrison, thanks so much. We'll be right back.